AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Thousands of flights delayed and canceled due to this winter storm. And if you think you're having a hard time trying to get where you're going, KUTV's Daniel Woodruff spoke to this couple in Salt Lake City.
It's chaos out there.
Brandon and Taylor are back home after an exhausting journey from Wisconsin.
We made it on the flight and then sat there for a couple hours. And then they told us to get off the flight for mechanical issues. And then immediately we reboarded the flight. And then we got off the flight again.
In total, they spent 30 hours in the airport.
I haven't slept in about 30 hours, too, so yeah.
If you're traveling to or from Buffalo's airport, forget it.
The Buffalo airport will be closed at least until 11 a.m. Monday. And so I think that's going to be, unfortunately, very disruptive to those who wanted to leave or arrive and spend time with family over the Christmas holiday.
New York Governor Kathy Hochul says just stay home. Only go out if absolutely necessary. That's good advice, says Kelly Cass with the Weather Channel.
Wind chills are going to be quite brutal. We're talking teens below zero. That's what it's going to feel like when you factor in that wind. Single digits around Fifth Avenue in New York City, Boston getting down to zero at times, even below, and even into Christmas Day and Monday. Those wind chill factors are still going to be below zero or hovering in those single digits.
Trying to keep up with migrants in El Paso amid this punishing cold.
El Paso opened an emergency shelter with 1,000 cots inside its convention center. But hundreds of migrants could be left out in the cold since the partially federally funded shelter is open only to migrants who've already been processed by the Border Patrol. El Paso officials say they're working with churches and other nonprofit organizations to shelter more migrants who have not been processed.
That's CBS's Jeff Glore. There's a shortage of cold and pain medicines nationwide thanks to the triple-demic of COVID, flu, and RSV. But Fort Smith, Arkansas druggist Daniel Lunsford says don't take those cold remedies if you've been storing them for too long.
You have some stuff left over from last year. Well, maybe it was from 3 years ago, and it's 2 years out of date. There's probably not a lot of danger in Tylenol, but some medications can be toxic once they get that old.
Citing failing health, a French man known as the Serpent, who was serving a life sentence, has been sent home to France. He was serving time in prison in Nepal after he was convicted of killing more than 20 people in Asia during the 1970s and 80s. His lawyer maintains he was wrongfully convicted based on rigged evidence. The 78-year-old French citizen was named the Serpent for his ability to evade police. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3960.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The long-term effects of Wisconsin's redistricting process were apparent in the November elections. A nonpartisan good government group says voters who feel overlooked should not give up. Mike Moen reports.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers won re-election, but Republicans maintained strong control over the legislature. Jay Heck of the group Common Cause points out that Evers maintains his veto power, but he says Republicans still carry a lot of weight, partly because they keep redrawing the maps to their advantage.
There were more votes cast for Democratic candidates statewide than Republican. But the contrast with the legislative elections in the state is so sharp, it almost makes laughable the idea that we have a true representative democracy.
Researchers have said that over the past decade, Wisconsin has produced among the most gerrymandered voting district maps in the country. Heck says voters should look ahead to next year's state Supreme Court election with the hope a less politicized court could eventually revisit the issue. And there could be legislation floated again next year to develop an independent redistricting process. In the meantime, he says the current maps allow a smaller percentage of voters to decide who controls the legislature, leaving other voters behind in fair representation.
Urban areas in Wisconsin have suffered a decline in the shared revenue from the state, even though those people pay taxes.
Heck says that means less support for schools, roads, and other public needs. Analysts say lawmakers representing these areas get packed into boundaries that ultimately diminish their voices at the state capitol. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection. Support for this reporting was provided by the Carnegie Corporation of New York.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. We are in the fun hour, the 1 o'clock hour.
Oh, it's so fun.
The hour where things get a little goofier, a little more fun. Not funner, more fun. And we have a lot of fun stuff. We have two. This hour also should be sponsored by Milwaukee Record, because both of these topics have been inspired by things that they've done or are you can currently engage with on their website. So shout out to Matt Wild and Tyler Moss and all the work that they overdo, all the silly things they do over at Milwaukee Record. And so they've done brackets before. I think one of the first ones I remember them doing was about a year ago, and they did Wisconsin's food. And for December, they're doing Wisconsin-born celebrities, and it is a 64 entry bracket, like the NCAA tournament, and you can vote as many times as you want. Super scientific. And per usual, the person, it's head-to-head, and then the person with the most votes moves on to the next round. We're currently in the third round, so what would that be, Elite Eight currently? And I don't know, I have not done a deep dive, but my first initial reaction was, you know, I've done some, Tony Shalhoub, Gene Wilder, J.J. Watt, the normal people that get listed off as Wisconsin celebrities. I didn't know there were 64 of them.
Oh, and there are more, too.
And yeah. And so Greg's come up. I told Greg, I was like, come up with a game for us to have fun with this, because I think there's something here. And Matt Wild was supposed to be here to help us do this, because of the winter storm, he had to change his plans. I think change his flight. He could not be here. He'll be back to do something else, I'm sure, fun and silly in January. But for now, I think we're going to go through some of the celebs, quote-unquote celebrities, and find out how many Jane and I know. Is that what you've come up with, Greg?
Yeah, I'm going to see if you recognize them. And then even if you don't, I want you to guess, what do they do?
Okay.
In a game I like to call, hey, what do they do?
And you can play along with us. You can text in 844-967-2789 if you think you know the answer. But here we go. All right, take it away, Greg.
I'm going to start with an easy one. I'm pretty sure Jane's going to get this one, but I don't know if you will.
Okay. So,
Charlotte Ray.
Oh, sure.
Okay, before you say anything, Kristen, do or do not know?
Do not know.
What do you think they do?
Chef.
Wrong.
She's an actress.
And who did she play, Jane?
She was the house mother, right on Facts of Life.
Mrs. Garrett.
Oh.
Did you ever... Do you know what Facts of Life is?
I know what Facts of Life. I never watched the show. Okay. That was not on Nick at Night when I was growing up watching Mary Tyler Moore.
That hurt.
All right. So is she still fit? Like, is she alive?
She's gone.
She's gone.
She's not with us anymore.
Okay.
She's
How passed. Is she doing in the bracket?
Oh, that's a good. Oh, she is getting the stuffing kicked out of her by one Orson Welles.
Oh, okay. Fair. All right. Next one.
Let's see here. Danny Gokey. I feel like you would know this one. Come on now.
Danny Gokey.
Okay. So,
Jane, do you know?
I do.
Okay. Jane's on the pulse.
Comedian?
Wrong. Jane?
American Idol.
Yep.
Really? How far did he get in that bracket?
Did he win?
No, he didn't win.
Okay.
But he did go on to do some things on his own, I want to say.
He has his own line of glasses.
Oh.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let's go with... Oh, and by the way, Danny Gokey is up against Justin Vernon. Who knows who Justin Vernon is?
Justin Vernon, that is...
Bon Iver.
Yes. Thank you. I knew that one.
Justin Vernon is currently winning 90-9 versus Danny Gokey. Somebody else tell you about how I met Justin Vernon in Eau Claire. It was a fun time.
Okay.
Let's see here. Let's go with... Okay, you know the name, but tell me, Les Paul.
He's a musician.
Okay.
Right. We're in Waukesha. Of course I know Les Paul. There's an entire murals dedicated to him.
You didn't know who Danny Gokey was, so I had no idea.
I think Les Paul is a little bit more, like notorious and embraced.
He's not notorious. He's
There's murals. I don't think there's any murals in Milwaukee for Danny Gokey. I think there's definitely multiple murals for Les Paul.
Not yet.
Okay.
All right. Harvey Keene. This is an easy one. Come on. You know. Okay, so both Jane and Kristen do not know who's...
Jane, you don't know either?
I do.
Jane's crushing me in this game. Okay. Harvey Keene.
Okay, you don't know who he is.
Is he a writer?
What do you... you think he's a writer?
Sure.
Wrong.
Okay. I'm kidding. I don't think I've ever performed this poorly in any game we've played on this show.
He was an American baseball player, but more importantly, he was the coach of the Brewers.
Harvey's Wallbangers.
Yep.
Oh, that's where Harvey Wallbangers come from. What's in that drink?
Booze.
Like a lot of booze?
A little bit of everything.
Yeah. Is it like a Long Island iced tea kind of boozy drink?
You wipe up the bar and you squeeze the bar rig into the hard wall banger. And please, if you're listening to this right now and we're wrong, don't. Reginald Lisowski. Now, this is kind of it's not a trick question, but there's a piece of it. If I say it, you're probably going to know who it is.
I don't know who it is. I think he's a trumpet player.
Okay, if I give you the clue. I think he's a trumpet player. Jane, do you know who he is?
No.
Reginald?
It's a great Lisowski. Name.
Lisowski. Okay,
I'm going to give you a hint because it's in here. The Crusher.
That's not a hint.
Not only is it a hint, it's a dead giveaway.
Is he an action superstar?
No, even better.
WWE.
Close. He was a wrestler. This is back before WWE was a thing. He was a wrestler from the 50s and 60s. Dick the Bruiser and the Crusher.
Dick the Bruiser?
The Crusher has his own... This is how important the Crusher is. He has his own statue in South Milwaukee. Currently beating Amanda Kessel in their race.
Also don't know who that is.
Amanda Kessel is a hockey player. So way to get on things.
Okay. Way to support women's sports.
Yeah. Way to be you. All right. Cool. Let's see here. Let's go... Jane Kaczmarek.
Oh.
Okay.
Nothing in the middle.
Okay, there you go. All right, good job.
Has she done anything since Malcolm in the Middle?
She was on Third Rock. Or no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking of Jane Krakowski.
Kristen Johnson.
What? Kristen Johnson's also from Wisconsin, isn't she?
Yes. Yes, she is.
So I finally got one right. Okay. But who's she up against?
Let's see here. Sorry, I scrolled back. Nope, that's... Fill for time.
Jane Krakowski.
Kaczmarek. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, if you can't find it, go ahead.
That's fine.
Next one.
Richard Ira Bong.
Jane knows. I don't know. Richard Ira
Bong.
Bong.
Yep.
American Idol.
Oh, Lord. He was an American aircraft pilot. He is the reason why we have the Bong Recreation Center. Also known as, no lie, and FCC can't get on me for this one, Dick Bong was his name. He's up against George O'Keefe and getting the bong kicked out of him.
Well, I would hope.
I know George O'Keefe. Go ahead.
George O'Keefe. Come on.
Yeah. We'll do a couple more. And then, Jane Kaczmarek is losing horribly to Chris Farley. That's
fair.
That's not a fair mashup.
That was
there.
Actually, that the anniversary of his death was this week.
Oh, God. He's so funny. Okay, here's one. I'm on Joel Hodgson. Either of you.
Joel Hodgson.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Give us a
hint.
What
do you think he does?
I think he is a author.
Wrong. Well, he may have written a book, but that's not what he's known for.
He's the inventor of bratwurst.
Oh, he'd win every round then. No, Joel Hodgson is the creator of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh!
So if you like watching that show where the robots and the dude talk in a movie theater over terrible movies, that's Joel Hodgson.
That was a great show.
Currently being lambasted by Gene Wilder.
Mm.
Do a couple more and then we'll be done.
Okay.
Ava Max.
Oh, athlete. No?
Nope.
No idea.
Singer-songwriter. Currently being beaten out by Jerry Harrison, who is also an American songwriter.
Okay.
And let's do one more.
Okay.
And then we'll move on. Let's do this one. Here we go. Donkey.
Donkey?
Donkey.
Is that a competitor of Barney? Oh, I don't know.
No. Nope. You should know you're in the same game.
Is a radio host?
No. He's a YouTuber.
I'm not a YouTuber.
You're a content creator.
I'm a content creator. Donkey.
You don't know anything
about
people.
What do you think his God-given name was? What
Ralph.
Do you think
his...
Duncan.
Duncan.
I bet it's Duncan.
So can we agree that not all 64 are famous?
Some of those are a stretch. We have a texter from the 608 who said Butch Vig.
Oh, I was going to say Butch Vig.
Has to be on the list. I don't know who that is.
He is on the list. He is very, very important. Without Butch Vig, you wouldn't, well, you might, but you would have it, but you wouldn't have the same quality. You wouldn't have the album Nevermind by Nirvana. You wouldn't have the band Garbage. He is a drummer and producer from Madison who is, he's also given us a ton of Foo Fighter records. Butch Vig is one of the most important musical, like, production people of the past like 35 years.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. So we I think I've proven myself to not know a lot about people who have come from Wisconsin. Probably should
And Donkey's given name is Jason.
Jason. Ugh. Came up with Donkey. So, does it say what kind of YouTube videos
video
he
game.
Makes?
He's a video game guy.
All right. Well, you can still vote. You can still vote on this very fun, very random. I'm sure Tyler and Matt were bored when they came up with this. But definitely go support Milwaukee Record. They do a lot of very fun stuff. But
it is a great website.
It's a great. They do so much.
Yeah. They're great guys. We love them.
We love them. We are big stands of Milwaukee Record. But until right now, I think it's round three until tomorrow. And then the final four is December 23rd to the 27th. And then the top two will head to head, and you can vote from December 28th to the 30th. And the winner will be determined at 11:59 p.m. on December 31st. So you can vote as much as you want. Go to Milwaukee Record. Shout out to those guys.
Stop the steal.
Stop the steal. We'll be back.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Mainly sunny skies and calm this afternoon with highs around 5 above. Winds out of the west, 20 to 25 miles an hour. Lows around 1 below. Tonight, partly cloudy. Highs level off around 9 above tomorrow. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently 7 above.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
I don't want a lot for Christmas. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us today on your lunch hour. We are talking about the difference of Medicare and Medicare Advantage and the confusing advertising that can happen for people when trying to decide what to sign up for. And telling us all about it is Dr. Mark Newman, who is a retired critical care pediatrician and also a member of the Wisconsin chapter of Physicians for National Health Program. So the other two things I read about, and I don't know as much, and I'm sure it takes a longer explanation than we have time for, but there's something different than even Medicare Advantage, which is direct contracting, and then a program called REACH. And are those, how similar or different are those from Medicare Advantage?
So those programs affect traditional Medicare. And traditional Medicare, as we alluded to earlier, is financed and managed by the federal government, the Center for Medicare Medicaid Services, CMS. And what happened under the Trump administration was there was a program designed that would allow for private entities to essentially act somewhat like what the Medicare insurance providers do. And that is to take money from the federal government, from the federal fund, and divvy it out to the traditional Medicare recipients, the beneficiaries. And so the funny thing is that if I'm a traditional Medicare beneficiary, I may not even know that I have been enrolled, or they call it aligned, with a DCE, because the alignment happens through your physician and not through the beneficiary. So my primary care physician somehow works for an organization that has become a designated contracting entity. They do that by enrolling or being accepted by the CMS. And now all of a sudden, I am no longer really in the old traditional, but now I'm in a designated contracting entity mediated form of Medicare. Well, the Physicians for National Health program became aware of this. And one of the reasons it's not well known is because it does not require congressional approval, because it's already allowed by another long explanation under the Affordable Care Act. So this can happen as an executive branch activity and does not require Congress to actually produce new law for it to happen, because the old law is already there. And therefore, it's been sort of insidious coming in and undermining traditional Medicare, essentially privatizing it. Well, my group, the Physicians for National Health Program, became aware of it and said, you know, this is just doing what we don't want to do, and that is to privatize a very well-run federal program. And so they started engaging with many other organizations to spread the word, to alert people about this possibility. This resulted in the CMS rebranding DCEs into something they call ACO REACH. And one of the ways to sort of confuse people is to give a different name.
Yeah.
The ACO REACH stands for, well, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. It's just all caps REACH.
And so this entity is still happening. And the Physicians for National Health Program and many other entities are continue to work informing legislators, informing senators, and also directly approaching the CMS and the Biden administration to say this experiment is a failure and it should be stopped. But so far, it hasn't been stopped.
Geez, Dr. Newman, it just seems like they should put the name Bamboozle on these policies and sell them that way. It's just, honestly, though, it is deliberately designed to be as murky, as Kristen said, and as confusing as humanly possible.
I agree with you. Before we go, I guess if there are listeners who really feel a compulsion to learn more about this, as I wish everybody would, and that is to actually reach out to the Physicians for National Health Program, to their website, and to a sub-website that they have to protect our Medicare program. It is full of well-documented and clear explanations of some of the things we've only been able to touch on today. That PNHP, Physicians for National Health Program, is an entity that's been around for 35 years. It was started in the 80s by some physicians who were recognizing that healthcare is something that we do as a society, as a community, and not as individuals. And because our healthcare system generally looks at our healthcare as if it were a commodity, something that we can buy individually. Yeah. But the reality is that we are healthy if we are healthy together as a society, as a community, all together. And therefore, we need healthcare delivery that goes to everyone, you know, becomes popularly known as something like Medicare for All. But the Physicians for National Health Program have been promoting this for 35 years, or this is our 35th year, and analyzing it, informing legislators, participating in the legislative process any way we can. We have chapters in many states, not all 50, but we do in Wisconsin. And it is really a fine resource to get a much broader, clearer understanding of some of the things we've just touched on today.
Yeah, on the website, you can certainly go down a rabbit hole as far as you guys have made it very clear with like one-pagers and frequently asked questions and a lot of, in simple language, breaking down what these different programs are and what to look out for. So again, that's Physicians for a National Health Program. And the website is just PNHP.org.
You bet.
There you go. Super easy.
That's the easiest thing we talked about today,
that
Kristen.
That is the easiest thing. There's one, well, a win's a win, as we say. Well, Dr. Mark Newman, thank you so much for spending time today. I think at least we started to shed some light. I feel like it's something that continues to need to remind people of what to look out for and not to be, to use Jane's word, bamboozled. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you so much. All right. Well, we'll link all of that information in today's blog post on asgoeswisconsin.com. So if you want to check it out, you didn't have a pen with you to write it down, we will have it there. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the expansion of I-94. I have someone here, urban planner Robin Palm, who has thoughts on that. All right. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Hundreds of thousands of Americans are hoping to make it home for the holidays, but the weather isn't cooperating. Here's CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
An ice storm shut down Seattle's SeaTac Airport for hours on Friday. In sunny Los Angeles, travelers couldn't take off because of weather delays elsewhere.
I thought I was safe. I'm in California and I'm headed to Hawaii.
The brutal cold has forced many plumbers to work overtime to fix broken and frozen pipes and heating systems. Dave Christopherson works in Billings, Montana.
I enjoy it because people are in a bind. Their businesses are at stake. They have to keep it running. There's a lot of self-accomplishment at the end of the day.
Migrants are huddled in the streets amid the cold in El Paso, Texas. Mayor Oscar Leeser says Washington must send help.
This is strictly a Band-Aid on a broken immigration process that needs to be fixed.
The El Paso City Council voted Friday night to extend the city's emergency declaration. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. I was reminded of Gina Beauclair.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
I was reminded of Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this. Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in on your lunch hour. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher. And as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And I think it's needless to say, this has not been a great year when it comes to anti-Semitism and the rhetoric, especially thanks to certain public figures, let's say, without spending too much time talking about those public figures. But in response to this rise in anti-Semitism, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation has joined forces with the National Shine a Light Initiative to raise awareness about the rise of anti-Semitism in the country and in Wisconsin. And there's a specific thing that's happening this week for Hanukkah that is so cool. And I saw it last night and I was like, ah, this looks great. So here to talk about that and also just, I think, the stats, the incidents, and maybe even how to address anti-Semitism when you hear it in your life is Allison Hayden, who is the Jewish Federation, the Jewish Community Relations Council Project Manager of the Milwaukee Jewish Federation and a member of the Anti-Defamation League's Midwest Associate Board. And she actively tracks and responds to anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin. So welcome to the show, Allison.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here and to talk about what we're doing with the Hone Bridge. So I will dive right in and say we have a program called Hanukkah on the Hone that is part of the National Shine a Light, which is Shine a Light on Anti-Semitism. So as some of you may know, Hanukkah is called the Festival of Lights. And every night of Hanukkah, we light a Hanukkiah or a menorah. And we light a candle for each night for 8 nights. So as a more public way of doing that and just shining a light very visibly in Milwaukee, we are lighting up for the third year now the Hone Bridge. So if you go and look at the bridge, each night starting on from the right to the left will be one more pillar lit up with a bulb at the bottom to be the flame. So, of course, it's upside down, but if you're looking at it where you can see the water, it actually shows the menorah flipped, and it's, you know, the world's largest upside down menorah. but it is a fun way to bring a little bit of joy and to celebrate our holiday and our, you know, Hanukkah light here in Milwaukee. And the reason that we're doing it, not just because it's pretty and it's very visible, is that there has been a huge rise in anti-Semitism, both nationally as well as here in Wisconsin. And this is a moment that we need to shine a light on that. Each night, you know, we have a speaker from either civic or faith leaders around the community that have sent us a message of support and community to show that this is not just a Jewish issue, that this is really, you know, a national and a community-wide problem. Because whenever there's a rise in anti-Semitism, there's inevitably a rise in other forms of hatred and bigotry. As we saw with COVID, there was a rise in anti-Asian and Pacific Islander hate. There's been a rise in LGBTQ plus hate recently with the shooting in Colorado and all sort of Islamophobic, anti-immigrant. All of those forms are tied together and often we call anti-Semitism the canary in the coal mine because a lot of white supremacy and hate groups that really play into anti-Semitic theories also really perpetrate a lot of other bigotry and hatreds towards groups. So this is our opportunity to say that, you know, anti-Semitism didn't start or end with the Holocaust. It's a very real issue that Jews are still dealing with today. And as of just the past audit that was done nationally of anti-Semitic incidents, 1 in 4 Jews said that they experienced some sort of anti-Semitic hate in the past year. And we only make up 2% of the population in the U.S., but it's we're still exponentially targeted for being Jewish. Nationally, the Anti-Defamation League does an incident reporting, and they saw an increase of 34%. In 2021, they're still calculating for 2022. And that's the highest on record since they started tracking in 1979. And we've seen equal increases here in Wisconsin as well.
So what, because this is part of your job, is this audit. And so, because sometimes I think the blanketed term incident, or even an all-encompassing word like racism or anti-Semitism. It's like what gets counted as an incident? And so, because I imagine that something that there's microaggressions and just the language that we use, and there's also like violence and property damage and swastikas being painted on things. And so when you say that there's a rise in incidents, what is counted as that?
Yeah. So great question. It's a wide variety of things, and it does range. We have categories when we do our own audit of anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin, and we do separate out categories that are things like expressions. That's people posting on social media, side comments, you know, things like that would sometimes be microaggressions or just a one-off comment. And then we also have a category for discrimination, especially like in workplaces, category for hate group activity. Some of you may have seen earlier this year, there was a lot of flyers from a hate group that were distributed throughout Kenosha. So that's something we track as a separate group. And then, you know, threats and harassments and assault as a more violent outtick of anti-Semitism, and then vandalism. So they all get counted as incidents, but we do in the audits separate out those categories. So you can really see what areas have increased. So general feelings and expressions of anti-Semitism have indeed gone up, but so have actual threatening or harassment type incidents as well. So an incident for us does not necessarily mean it's something that would be counted as a hate crime, for example. So a lot of national data, like the FBI's hate crime statistics, is very much only about if a criminal offense has happened. What we count is a wider group of incidents, because we're looking for a snapshot of what people's just general anti-Semitic beliefs and experiences of the Jewish community here in Wisconsin covers. And even something that's just a side comment using, you know, very negative or anti-Semitic stereotypes or saying that Jews control the media may not directly be as threatening as someone, you know, attacking a synagogue or threatening a person. But all of those basis comments and those unconscious bias really add up. And once you've normalized saying those, they can lead to worse things. So knowing where we stand with those kind of ideas helps us get a better idea of where we need to reach out in the community. Absolutely. And what we need to look at.
Absolutely. We're talking to Allison Hayden, who is from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. And part of her job is tracking and responding to anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin. And I think one of the... because of the nuance of, like, with the language and what you were just saying, and I've heard it explained before. I don't think I'm qualified to explain it, but, like, in that sentiment alone, like, the Jews can, the quote, I'm saying this in quotes, Jews control the media. How would you explain to someone who, when, if they were to respond with, well, why is that anti-Semitic? Like, why is that anti-Semitic?
Yeah. For someone like myself, who is deeply ingrained in understanding and knowing this, it, you know, things that I see as obvious are obviously not so obvious. And oftentimes people spread things unknowingly. And the reason why it's anti-Semitic is because it's perpetrating and spreading tropes and conspiracy theories about the Jewish community. So that has been, you know, since there were a lot of Jews that work in Hollywood, because we were not allowed to participate in a lot of mainstream media at first when, you know, movies and shows started to be produced, Hollywood was created because we were pushed out of spaces and we created ourselves. But because there's, you know, a lot of Jews there, people say, oh, that must mean it's controlled by the Jews. And if you think that Hollywood's controlled by the Jews, then you'll go on to think that, oh, well, the media is controlled by, and then that'll go on to be like, well, then that also means the banks, and that means that the, you know, the government, and it derives from a sense of ignorance that people can spread this, but it creates a delusional view of Jews as this nefarious monolith that is out to cause problems in society. So saying Jews own the media is just not true. There may be Jews, there may be people in power who are Jewish, but there is not a monolithic Jews as a whole that control things. And that's kind of where the basis of it is, because mm-hmm. once you really like other the Jews into that single organism and say, you know, Jews do this, Jews do that, Jews control or manipulate this, it really demonizes us, and it creates that next step to be able to other and separate out the Jewish community and believe more and more conspiracies and tropes and negative things against the Jewish community.
Ellison, we had a caller at 844-967-2789 who wanted to know if you had a reaction to the New York Times crossword puzzle that ran earlier this week.
Not good.
Yeah.
If you can explain that to people who may not have seen it, please.
Yeah. So it, one of my friends sent it to me because I don't see the New York Times. But on the first day of Hanukkah, they ran their crossword puzzle. And you know, in a crossword puzzle, it has the black spaces that make up the where no letters go. And in this case, when you look directly at it, it makes a swastika. And sometimes I know the swastika is not always invoking the Nazis and Germany, Hitler's era, but this one specifically was on its side and going to the right, which is the design used by the Nazis. So it felt intentional, even if it wasn't intentional. Mm-hmm. And it's the thought that so many people probably had to look at this before it was published, and nobody thought to ask a question, and or nobody thought to look at it and wonder, does that look kind of suspicious? Is that so, like, even if it wasn't done with ill intent, the people who want to see swastika, they want to see things supporting their hateful views, will see it and be like, oh great, the New York Times put out a swastika, what wonderful news. But obviously to the Jewish community, we'll see it as a, this went through so many people and nobody noticed that it was a swastika. Well, and it seems.
And it's a good point as far as when it's the New York. It's one thing for As Goes Wisconsin, if we publish something on social media that wasn't double checked, because there's not a lot of us. But having a friend who has been published in the New York Times and him talking about what the editing process is and how many people have to read something before it gets published in the paper or in the website, you're right. And how many people had to see that and didn't see it, which is shocking.
Yeah, I was definitely shocked. And so were many of my friends. And, you know, it just, the coincidence that it was the first night of Hanukkah just goes to show you that things that the Jewish community are concerned about, we're often told, is we're overreacting on stuff. And there is such thing as like blowing up small things, but I think ignoring them or just brushing them under and say, well, this is not that bad, so we shouldn't worry about it, allows it to be more normalized. And once people are desensitized to little things because they said, well, it's not bad enough to worry about, it builds up until suddenly, you know, the Tree of Life Synagogue was attacked, and then it was bad enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's little things build.
So we're going to take a break really quickly, but when we come back, two questions I want to talk about is kind of addressing what Jon Stewart's reaction was to Dave Chappelle's SNL monologue, because in the context of how do you, even as a non-Jewish person, fight or stand up against anti-Semitic rhetoric, and how do we have these conversations? And then also I want to just ask, as far as like, what joyful part of Judaism do you want to spread and want people to know? So we'll talk about both of those things when we come back with Allison Hayden from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. Stick around.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5.
Let's do it.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind chill advisory continues until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. Mainly sunny skies this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 7 above. Westerly winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Lows around 1 below. Tonight, partly cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 9 above. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently 7 above.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Allison Hayden from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation, and we're talking about Hanukkah on the Hone, and also the unfortunate rise of anti-Semitism. And as far as someone who, I'm sure there's parts of your job that are very depressing, because this is part of your job is to track incidents of anti-Semitism in Wisconsin, which sounds not fun. But also, like, how do you, for the conversation around how do we stop, how do we reverse this trend? And so much of the narrative this year, I think, has been around Kanye West and then Dave Chappelle, and again the language used sometimes and sometimes in the name of comedy, sometimes, you know, and this is, and I don't think that's probably the only theory as to why there's been a rise of this, but it is a very public one. And I've yet to talk to with Greg or anyone on the show of Jon Stewart, one of my idols as far as how someone uses comedy to talk about the news. And his, what I took away from his kind of reaction to Dave Chappelle's SNL sketch or monologue was this rhetoric is happening in comment sections everywhere. And in what we were saying, like the anti-Semitism comments. And so we have to be talking about it because it's happening in the shadows anyways. And so we need to bring it to light. And I care less about if you agree with him or not, but more about the question is, like, is that the first step, is having more conversations and even putting a name to it?
Yeah, so that's a great, there was a lot of controversy, even just about the monologue, and yes, a lot of debate in the Jewish community. So to touch briefly on comment section and tie it back to the Hanukkah on the Hone, the National Shine a Light, when we asked, what do we do if we have anti-Semitic comments on our social media during this, they said, leave them, because it only shines a light more on why we're bringing this issue up. And so if you go to their YouTube channel, their videos are a cesspool of very negative and hateful comments. I don't recommend it if you're having a bad day.
Yeah.
And I do agree with that to an extent, because, you know, people will say whatever they say, and we're not necessarily here to punish people. What we're here for is educating people. Whenever I say, why do I do the audit of anti-Semitism? Why don't I publicize who these people are? I say, I'm not here to make them pay for what they said, to punish them for oftentimes things they've said in ignorance or misinformation that they've received. Because that will only make things worse. When all you do is, you know, fire somebody, cut them out entirely, it will only make them more bitter, more angry, more likely to believe the ideas that, you know, they have been espousing. And instead, it should be taken as a moment for education. There should be a statement sometimes or some sort of public denouncement of what was said, but oftentimes it's better to handle these incidents by one-on-one or as a group, like reaching out to the person who said this and saying, listen, this came off really insulting. This was really insensitive to the Jewish community, or, you know, this is why we were upset by it. Can we please have a conversation? Sometimes things are said that go too far. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if someone's going to be out there saying you should kill the Jews, like that's not someone that's going to have a conversation, and there will be extremes, but only 18% or so of national incidents are perpetrated by people who would be ascribed to a hate group. Most are everyday people that just are misinformed or mm-hmm. believe kind of, you know, tropes or conspiracies that they've heard. And to stop anti-Semitism, it's more about the ripple effect outward than being able to like cut it off. If you can instead have conversations, if you can educate people, if you can build bridges with people, you are more likely to slow the spread of anti-Semitism, bigotry, all forms of hate, versus if you just censor everything and cut everything out. Do I believe people should be allowed to just go on to, say, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation and say tons of negative things and, you know, threaten us? No, absolutely not. And I think those things should not be allowed to spread, and because it perpetrates hateful and dangerous rhetoric. But I think oftentimes immediately shutting someone down is not helpful in this case, because a lot of anti-Semitism and other hates derives its power from just ignorance of the lived realities of, you know, in my case, Jewish people, in other cases, other minority groups. And it's much easier to demonize and caricaturize people if you don't know anything about them. So what I always instruct is that if possible, if you're looking at, you know, social media, you're watching the news and you're seeing one more incident of bigotry, hate, anti-Semitism, and you're saying, what can I do? Well, you can get to know people. Like, go out in your community, go meet somebody, go, you know, to a program that's community-wide and understand what your neighbors are like. Not everybody, you know, lives in your echo chamber. And oftentimes our social media especially filters an echo chamber. But go out there and meet someone who looks, lives, prays, loves differently than you. And that, you know, once you get to know someone, you realize the similarities and the differences, and you can appreciate people for who they are and what their different practices are. And once I've had people, when I do presentations about who are the Jews, what is Judaism, I've had people say that they've never really met a Jewish person, or they just have questions because they've never had the opportunity. And just being open and understanding that there may be some misinformation, there may be some ignorance, there may be some confusion, but automatically shutting that down is only going to let that spread. So taking that opportunity to instead say, let's talk about why do you think that? Why did you say that? And taking that moment can really be a positive way to slow that down.
Absolutely. Well, to end on a high note, what are some of the joyful aspects of Judaism and Jewish culture that you wish more people knew?
I mean, we have so many fun and like happy practices. Like, the people online can't see it, but behind me, I have two menorahs because some of my Jewish staff members want to light candles every day. And I have dreidels, so we'll play with dreidels later and eat sufganiyot, which are jelly-filled donuts and latkes. And we'll take this moment to like, yeah, we're shining a light on anti-Semitism with this, but we're also just shining a light in darkness because, you know, that sense of community that I get from the Jewish community is honestly one of the best parts about being Jewish, is that I always feel supported. I always feel like I have a community that loves to get together and celebrate when we can. And so Hanukkah's, you know, there's depressing things happen, but we have this bright moment in this dark, the winter solstice, darkest day of the year, literally. And I think that's the best, is that we find so many reasons to be together as a community and find reasons to thrive and, you know, wear the story of resilience.
Absolutely. Well, we'll link all of the information for Hanukkah on the Hone so you can check it out either in person or on the website. Allison Hayden, thank you so much for taking time to educate us and spend time with us today. Happy Hanukkah. and hopefully see you soon. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll take another break.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.